Shalom and welcome to On the House, the podcast where industry experts and professionals discuss real estate in Israel. I'm your host, Debbie Goldfischer, real estate agent, founder and editor-in-chief of buyitinisrael.com. Join us as we explore market trends, legal and tax issues, purchasing tips, neighborhoods throughout Israel, and much more. All this is On the House, helping you make the right move. Welcome back to On the House, the Israel Real Estate Podcast. I'm excited to kick off season 6 with you all. It's hard to believe we've come this far, but Baruch Hashem, the podcast is going strong. We've gained listeners from all over the world and the feedback has been incredible. People are asking for more and more, and we're here to deliver. In the past 5 seasons, we've covered a wide range of topics: buying new construction and resale properties, financial planning, taxes, legal aspects, market trends, working with agents, exploring different areas and types of homes, and all throughout, the importance of building a strong team. This season, we're focusing on a critical aspect of the home buying process: mortgages. For most people, buying a home is not possible without financing. A mortgage isn't just a loan, it's a significant long-term commitment that requires careful planning and understanding. That's why this season we're dedicating each episode to breaking down the mortgage system in Israel, exploring the options, and helping you make informed decisions. And God willing, at the end of the season, we'll host a special Q&A session to address all your unanswered questions about mortgages and financing in Israel. Be sure to submit your questions through the Buy It in Israel website or email them to office@buyitinisrael.com, buyitinisrael.com. We look forward to hearing from you. And now, to kick things off, I'm thrilled to welcome our guest, Yoni Hyman. Yoni is a mortgage specialist and real estate investor with over 8 years of experience. During his career, Yoni has helped more than 4,000 families achieve their dreams of owning a home or investment property in Israel. In addition to his hands-on expertise, Yoni is a sought-after lecturer at finance-focused events and a member of the Israel Mortgage Association. His accreditation enables him to collaborate with all banks in Israel, guaranteeing his clients access to optimal rates and exceptional service. Yoni specializes in working with foreigners and new immigrants, meticulously managing every aspect of the mortgage process, from negotiations to navigating bureaucratic procedures and coordinating with financial institutions. Yoni ensures a seamless and stress-free experience for his clients. And with that, Yoni, welcome to On the House, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. I know you are a very busy man. I was lucky enough to catch you in between all of your phone calls and your meetings. I've heard that on any given day, you're like working with about 70 to 100 different clients.
It's a very busy day, thank God.
A busy day. It's a busy month as well. We're coming up to the end of the year. And I really, really appreciate the time that you're giving us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And as all my listeners know, that I really try to bring on people who share the passion and who genuinely want to help our brothers and sisters around the world to find their way home.
Absolutely.
So, Yoni, before we get started, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into mortgages.
Okay, so I'm a real estate investor, which means I invest in real estate primarily in Israel. I did a bachelor's in statistics from HBU. I did a master's in Minhal Asakim.
Business administration.
Business administration from HBU as well, with an emphasis on real estate finance. And slowly, slowly from becoming a real estate investor, I started really learning the finance side of the real estate. And about 8 years ago, I decided to really take it to the next level. I started learning mortgage consulting. And this is all I've been doing for the past 8 years.
Unbelievable.
I lecture all over, and from the morning till the night, that's what I do for the past 8 years.
Fantastic. Well, at the end of this interview, I want to hear a little bit about where you would recommend people to invest. But before we do that, let's dive in and get started on mortgages.
Absolutely.
So mortgages in Israel can be very different from what people are used to abroad, with the unique structures and options that might not exist elsewhere. Can you explain to us the different mortgage tracks in Israel?
Yeah, so in Israel, there's many, many different types of mortgage tracks. Unlike the States, where it's primarily fixed, in Israel it could be fixed, variable, different types of variable, linked to inflation, unlinked to inflation. There's about 25 to 30 different tracks that banks offer. My job as a broker is to really understand the different tracks and try to correctly, make sure it suits your financial needs.
Okay, so let's go through those tracks, the main tracks. I don't expect to go through 25 of them. Yeah,
there's a lot of them.
But let's try and break it down. Let's start with the fixed.
Okay, so the fixed is the easiest mortgage. Basically, it's a fixed mortgage. You lock in a rate from the first day to the next, 15, 20, 30 years, whatever we decide. Mm-hmm. You're completely locked in. The biggest advantage of a fixed mortgage, you're locked in, which means it's the rates market vary for the good or for the bad. You're completely locked in for the next, like I said, 15, 20, 25, 30 years.
So if someone locks in today, what rate would they be getting?
So it depends for how many years. It depends on what LTV. It varies. But on a 30-year loan, on a good mortgage, probably around 4.5 to around 4.7%.
Okay, today. So if I take a mortgage today for 20 years, let's say, at 4.7%, for the next 20 years, I will be paying 4.7%.
4.7%.
Nothing more, nothing less.
Nothing changes unless, again, we take something called a fixed link to inflation. We'll get that in
a minute. But just a purely fixed
rate. If it's completely fixed, that's what you're paying from day one to the next 20 years, for instance. Same monthly payment, same payments. Nothing could change.
Okay. And if the rate goes down to 1%, I'm still paying 4.7%.
You're still paying 4.7%. You could potentially refinance.
Which we'll come to that at another point. Okay. So that's fixed. What's variable?
The variables, there's different types of variables. There's variables that vary based on the Israeli bond market. They vary based on the Bank of Israel. It's called Ribita Prime. There's different types of variables. And the variable rate basically locks in for a month, 3, 6, a year, 2, 3 years, different types of variables, which basically means you're locked in for that duration of the mortgage. The rates don't change at all. And every X amount of month or X amount of years, the rates vary based on the market. So it could go up, it could go down, it could change. And the rates will vary based on what happens in the market in the near future. Mm-hmm. That's a variable mortgage. Mm-hmm.
So on the one hand, you're exposed to potential increases in the interest, but you can also benefit when the rate goes down.
Absolutely. If right now we're taking a variable rate, when the rates are relatively high, we can find ourselves in 2, 3, 5 years, the rate's going down automatically, and mm-hmm. therefore our variable rates would adjust correctly and therefore go down. That could also be an option.
So today, if we took a variable rate, again, let's talk about my 20-year mortgage, what sort of rates would I be looking at?
So there's different types of variables. Depends what type of variable rate. If it's a rate attached to Prime, which is Bank of Israel. Mm-hmm. So the rates today around 6%. We usually get something called Prime minus, anywhere between 0.8 to maybe Prime minus 1%. So around 5 to 5.2%.
Oh, I see. Okay.
If it's a variable that varies based on the Israeli bond market, it's usually around 4.3 to 4.8%. That's a good
rate to get. Okay. And you're saying that there are different time frames for the variability of this rate.
Correct. You could take
I'm assuming the longer the time, the higher the rate.
Not necessarily. It depends on the different rates. But you could take a variable that varies every year, every 2, 3, 5, 7 years. They vary off of the same type of bond, but the bonds could vary differently depending on how we structure the mortgage. Mm-hmm. So if I'm looking for a more secure, steady mortgage, I could take a 5-year variable, a 7-year variable. If I'm looking to a mortgage that can vary every year or two, that could be a 1 or 2 year variable. There are mm-hmm. different options. And we kind of try to structure the mortgage correctly based on what our clients need.
Right. So before we come to customizing what each client needs, I just want to continue understanding these options. So we've talked about fixed. We've talked about variable. What are the other options?
So everything I do could be also linked to inflation, which basically means I could take a fixed mortgage linked to inflation. So again, you're locked into the same rate, but the principal is linked to inflation, which means if inflation goes up or goes down, the principal could vary based on the changes of inflation. So let's say hypothetically, we take a 1 million shekel fixed,
okay,
linked to inflation at hypothetically 3%. Again, once it's linked to inflation, the rates are cheaper because there's a risk of inflation. Mm-hmm. And inflation goes up this year by 2%, for instance. You stay at 3%, you're locked in at 3%, but the principal, the 1 million shekel, could vary based on a change of inflation. So we could find ourselves owing the bank more than 1 million shekels, depending on the change of inflation. Mm-hmm. Inflation goes up or goes down, so will the principal, and that would obviously impact what you owe the bank and therefore your monthly payment for the mortgage.
Mm-hmm. So we've got fixed with linked to the index,
fixed, non-linked
to the index, and then we have variable.
So in the variables, also in the variables, we could do a variable linked to the index and variable not linked to the index. Mm-hmm. Same thing. If mm-hmm. it's linked to the index, the rates vary every X amount of years depending on the variable rate, but the principal could be exposed to the index. There's different types of variables, something called a labor. Labor is either linked to the exchange rate of the dollar versus shekel, the dollar versus
The LIBOR.
The LIBOR.
That's like linked to the pound, isn't it?
It could be to the euro. It could be to the dollar. It could be to the Japanese yen. It could be to different types of stuff.
It's linked to a currency.
It's linked to a currency. Therefore, every few months, every 3 to 6 months, the rates vary based on an adjusted rate. Mm-hmm. In addition, the principal could vary based on the exchange rate of the dollar versus the shekel, for instance. So if the dollar gets stronger or weaker versus the shekel, so will the principal. So the principal could vary. It's a very, very the mortgage could fluctuate pretty heavily depending on the market.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not recommended to everybody. It really depends who the client is, where he's making his income. If a client's making his income in the States, it's something we could potentially consider.
Mm-hmm.
An Israeli that's making his money in Israel,
he doesn't want to expose himself to that risk.
Probably a little bit riskier.
So when we talk about a variable rate, the currency would be one of the options of the
variable rate.
It right. Could be it's not like currency. it would be variable plus linked to the currency.
No, it's both. It's both variable, which means the rates vary every 3 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that varies the rates. And the currency adjusts the principal. Like the inflation adjusts the principal.
Understood.
So the currency. So if the currency goes up or goes down based on, let's say, shekel versus the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in the shekel versus the dollar to the currency, that would adjust the principal accordingly. And then you also have the variable rates, which is the rates lock in, let's say hypothetically 5%. And in 3 months, it could adjust based on the market.
I see.
So you're exposed to two different types of variable rates.
Okay. This is becoming complicated.
A bit complicated.
Okay. So we have fixed, we have variable, we have index linked.
Correct.
Inflation linked.
Correct.
What else?
So in the types of variables, there are also different types of variables, something called, like I said, prime, which are basically linked to the Bank of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So today the prime is 6%. So you're 6% on minus whatever we negotiate for you. So that's mm-hmm. obviously something that's negotiable. And the prime goes up or goes down, that's the interest of Bank of Israel, so will your rate. So let's say we lock in a prime minus 0.9%.
Mm-hmm.
And the rates in the market drop from 6% to 4%. So your rate automatically would drop from 5.1% to 3.1%. So you'll always be 0.9% under the prime.
Mm-hmm.
And that could obviously always adjust our rates accordingly. We have something called makam. Makam is ribit mishtana ktzarat moed. It's a one-year variable linked to something called short-term loans.
Mm-hmm.
And that could also adjust once a year based on the market. So again, there's many different types of options. Not all options are relevant. The banks usually try to sell the most profitable options for the bank because the banks are looking to make money. But our job, like I said, is to really understand what the client needs and try to, structure it correctly for the client.
Absolutely. Okay, before we talk about how you structure things for each specific client, tell us a little bit about these rates and the variables. Who determines what the rates are? How often are they published? And where are they published?
That's a great question. Fixed rates are locked in. They don't change at all. I'm locked in for the next 5, 10, 15, 30 years at the same rate.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fixed rate. It's an easy rate to work
understand
with because again, it's a fixed rate.
Stand.
Nothing changed.
Right.
The fixed rate could adjust in the market based on something called ribit memutzat b'meshek, which is the average rate in the market. But once you take it out, it's locked in completely.
Got it. Okay.
That's a fixed rate. The variable rates, also in the variable rates, there's different types of mortgages. There's a variable rate that varies based on the bond market. There's a variable rate that based on the LIBOR. There's a variable rate that based off of Bank of Israel. There's different types of variable rates. The most common one is a variable rate that varies based on Israeli bond market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the variable rates, like I said, there's different types of variable rates. Most variable rates are, they're published by something called Shuka Agach, the Israeli bond market. They're advertised in the Bank of Israel site. You could check them mm-hmm. at Atar Bank Israel.
How often?
They're advertised once a month. They change once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then based on that, basically, it's called an ogen in Hebrew. It's called the cost of the money, which basically means when I lock in a rate, let's say 4.7% hypothetically,
mm-hmm.
the bank says it costs me, or the Israeli bond today is 4.3%. I'm going to charge you a profit, a mirvach in Hebrew it's called, of 0.4%, which means your rate's 4.7%.
Mm-hmm.
That's locked in for the next, let's say hypothetically, 3 years. After 3 years, the rates adjust. The profit locks in, which means the profit doesn't change at all.
Okay.
And the variable rate or the ogen, the 4.3%, can adjust based on the market.
I see.
So the rate market could go up or go down. I'm still locked in at 0.4%.
The profit is what the bank's making on you.
Correct. The profits, and he was called mirvach, that's what basically the banks are making on us.
Okay. So it's full disclosure. You know what they're making.
Well, it's not exactly because the banks don't really buy the money for exactly what you see.
I see.
But they make a little bit more than that.
Sure.
But yes, you see the way the banks calculate the profits.
So no matter what they're earning, the same profit, their profit is not variable. Your expenses are variable, but theirs are not.
Correct. Once you lock in a profit, their profit locks in, which means we negotiate a profit that's locked in for the next 20, 30 years.
Correct.
That's locked in. The cost of money, that could vary, which is also part of the profit. I'm putting that aside. That could vary. But once we lock in a profit, we're locked in for the next, like I said, 15, 20, 30 years at the same profit. Now, what people have to understand today is because the Israeli bond market went up so high in the past few years since the mm-hmm. corona, and if in 2-3 years ago we were able to get bonds or, in, like I said, the ogen, the cost of the money for between 0.5 to maybe 1 to 1.5%,
mm-hmm.
the banks were taking profits of 2 to 3% because they were able to, because, you know, the rates were much, much cheaper back then. Mm-hmm. Once the rates market jumped from 0.5 to 1% to around 4 to 5%, which happened in the past 3 years, the bank said, I can't charge a 2 to 3% profit anymore. I have to be relevant to the market. So I'm going to charge a 0.2, 0.3, 0.4% profit, mm-hmm. which means they lower the profits tremendously, which basically means today, even though it looks like the banks are making much more money, the profits are much, much lower. Mm-hmm. Now, if I take out a mortgage today or in the near future, or I took out a mortgage the past few months, I was able to lock in a fantastic profit. And that's going to be locked in for the next 20, 30 years. So even in 2-3 years, when the rates market adjusts,
it's actually good it's to better, lock it's it good in for now. Me,
correct. Because what's going to happen, the rates market adjust. I'm going to get locked in at the profit. Let's say the rates market go down from 4.3 to 1%. I'm locked in at 1% plus that 0.4% profit, for instance. So I'm locked in at 1.4%. My friend, when it takes a mortgage in 3 years, the bank's going to say, listen, my cost went down from 4%, from 4.3 to 1%. I could charge you 3%, still be relevant, still be attractive in the market. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they're going to increase the profits. And by me taking a mortgage right now, locking in a very cheap profit today, it allows me to guarantee myself in the next, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, a fantastic rate. Maybe not today, but definitely in a few years from now.
Even if you refinance and
so refinance is something totally different. If I refinance the mortgage, I change the whole thing completely.
I see. If you're on a variable rate and the rate goes down,
so I'm going to enjoy the decrease of rates. Correct.
So that's where you benefit the most.
100%.
When the rates go down.
But I may be in a situation where I lock in, for instance, 4.5%, which is based out of 4.3 plus a 0.2% profit. Mm-hmm. And in 3 years, the rates are going down.
Okay.
But I don't want to refinance, because if I don't refinance and the rates adjust automatically by themselves, mm-hmm. I'm locked in at 0.2%. Fantastic. If I refinance, I'm going to lose that 0.2%. That's something I don't want to lose.
Right. Okay. So just going back to how somebody can track these rates, you go onto the website. What was it called?
Well, there's different types of rates, but this one specifically, go to the Bank of Israel website.
Okay. And you look for the bonds?
You look at the Israeli bonds. It's called Akom Efes, Shuk Agach. Mm-hmm. This is called in the Hebrew. And they could see the returns of the bonds for 2, 3, 5, 7, 10-year bonds. And based on those bonds, you could see what the banks charge for those bonds, basically.
I see. What about the prime rate?
Okay. So what happens is 8 times a year, about every month and a half, the governor comes up. He advertises.
The governor of the Bank of Israel.
The governor of the Bank of Israel. Mm-hmm. He advertises the updated prime, or the interest rate the Bank of Israel will call it. And that adjusts the whole market, which means anybody that has a minus in their account, anybody that's an overdraft, anybody that has any private loans, they're exposed to the prime, which means if the prime goes up or goes down, that automatically, the rates automatically adjust, and that could obviously, you know, impact their costs, mm-hmm. the cost of their
if
loans.
If they have variable rates.
Not if they have variables. They have a loan at the bank, a regular loan. They have a car loan.
I see.
If they're an overdraft in their account, it's usually linked to the prime. So mm-hmm. Everything we have is usually linked to the prime.
So a couple of weeks ago, they announced that they're keeping the rate at 4.5%.
They've been doing it for the past, I think, year. They've been changing it.
That's the prime rate?
So prime today is 4.5%. And well, the interest in Bank of Israel is 4.5%. The prime is 6%, because the prime is 1.5% over the interest in Bank of Israel.
Always 1.5%?
Always 1.5% over.
Why is that?
Because that's in the mirvach, the profit
the
bank takes.
That's the profit.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, there's a lot to learn.
You brought me for a complicated...
I did, but you're doing a great job at explaining it. And I mean, as I mentioned earlier, this is all about building a team. This is... something that you need someone to explain
100%.
To you. You can't do it alone. And if you walk into an Israeli bank and you don't speak the language, there's no way you're going to understand what's going on here.
And again, not necessarily what the bank's selling you might make correct for you. You have to make sure that your financial needs are met, which means the bank wants you to take a fixed or variable mortgage. If you're looking to buy and flip a house within the next few months, you may not want to take a fixed mortgage. Mm. You want to take a more variable mortgage just to allow you to prepay or refinance with no penalty. We should talk about that in the future, but potentially be able to exit the mortgage with no penalty whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So different purchases have different considerations.
Right.
And that allows me to build different structures for mortgages.
At the end of the day, the bank is looking out for themselves.
Always.
What works for them. And the mortgage broker is looking out what's best for you.
100%.
The client. Good. Tell me, all mortgages are... taken in shekels in Israel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there used to be an option to take out mortgage in dollars, not anymore. Mm-hmm. Now all mortgages are taken in shekels. There is, like I said, linked to the dollar, but the mortgage is paid in shekels.
Got it. Okay. You mentioned currency-linked mortgages. Could you tell us a little bit about the risks of taking dollar-based or other foreign currency loans? And how does the currency fluctuation impact the overall cost of a mortgage?
Yeah, so basically what happens, let's say we take, for instance, 3 million shekel mortgage when the the shekel versus dollar, the currency mortgage, when it's at 3.7%, for instance. So they say, okay, 3 million shekels at 3.7% means you took today, I'm throwing out a number, $900,000. I don't know if that's correct. Let's say $900,000. If the shekel versus dollar changes, the $900,000 base could go up or go down based on the currency, which means you could potentially owe the bank much more, much less, depending on the exchange rate of the dollar versus the shekel.
So as you said earlier, if you're earning dollars, that makes sense.
Theoretically, yes. I mean, again, a lot of my clients want that because they earn in dollars, but it's a very, very risky mortgage because you could find yourself taking a mortgage of 2-3 million shekels, and after a year owing the bank 4 million shekels because the exchange rate changes, you didn't do anything.
Right.
It could also go down. If the, you know, it's a dollar, I mean, the fluctuation of dollar versus shekel could affect, like I said, the principal. So it's very risky. It's very profitable for the bank, which means that if you want to negotiate rates, that could be a part of the mortgage you could take out and potentially put that and maybe even pay that off in a few years. It could be paid off with no penalty, that part of the mortgage, by the way. But it allows me to negotiate better rates everywhere else, which means it's a very profitable, more profitable mortgage for the bank.
Why is that? Because if the shekel strengthens, then...
Yeah, but the bank makes money two ways. First of all, they're exposed to the dollar versus shekel exchange rate. Number two, it's also a variable rate. It varies every 3 months based on the market. So even though you're locking a rate at 3 or 4% today, in, I don't know, 2 years, it may be 5% or 6%.
But it can go both ways.
Correct. But I mean, in the past few years, it's been going up. So I mean, anybody who took a mortgage, that type of mortgage the past few years, they've been... had a pretty high increase of rates.
Yeah. What are the repayment terms typically available in Israel?
When you say repayment terms, what do you
mean? How long a mortgage does are the options?
So the maximum length is 30 years. That's the maximum. But I can only take a mortgage till the client turns, depending on what bank, usually between 80 to 85 years old. So if I have a client that's 65 years old, I could probably take a 15 to 20 year loan. If it's a younger client, I could probably take a 30 year loan. The longer the mortgage is, the higher the rates are, the more expensive it is.
The longer the mortgage is, the higher the rates are, the more expensive it is.
So if I'm taking a 20, 25, or 30-year loan on a 30-year fix versus a 20-year fix, I'll probably get a better rate on a 20-year fix.
I see. So on the one hand, you want to try and pay it off as quickly as possible. On the other hand, you may not have the money. You want to spread it out as long as you can.
Yeah, but
you pay
again,
the price for that.
But I have a lot of clients say to me, listen, Yoni, I'm an investor. So if I take a 30-year loan, I'm saving or I'm lowering my payment by 5,000 shekels a month. For instance, I'm going to take that 5,000 shekel, invest in the market and make a higher return on what I'm paying interest on a mortgage.
I see.
So I might as well reinvest my money. It depends on the client itself and what he's looking to do. For a lot of my clients, I tell them to take longer mortgage because I could always refinance mortgages.
Sure.
But that cash flow, I think, is very important to reinvest or maybe buy a different property or another property. I mean, there's a lot of benefits of taking a longer, like I said, a longer mortgage and enjoying a very positive cash flow.
And in terms of repayments, once somebody takes a mortgage, they have to repay every month?
Absolutely.
Is there any way to pay it annually or biannually?
So there's no way to pay it annually, at least not automatically. But the banks are very understanding. Okay. I know people say that the banks, you know, don't listen. They're not our friends. A lot of it is true, which means the banks are a profitable organization. And again, it's a bank.
It's a business.
That's what their business
is. That's what
they're doing. I tell my clients all the time, if you negotiate a rate by yourself and you brought me in as a broker and I was able to lower by 0.5 or 0.7% and save you guys 600 shekels a month, don't get upset at the bank. It's part of the game. Okay? It's a game.
Right.
Just enjoy the game. It's okay. But that's what we do all the time, by the way. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that's negotiable. It's definitely something they could be played with. Yeah.
Okay. And... from the day I take the mortgage, I
want to say one more thing beforehand. Like I said, the banks are very understanding. And therefore, if you call the banks, you tell the banks, listen, I'm going through a hard time. I lost my job. I'm in miluim. For whatever reason, I need a break. Give me 2, 3, 4 months of not paying a mortgage, paying back only interest. The banks, in most cases, are very, very understanding, which means the last thing the banks want for it to happen is for you to default the payment.
Sure.
So they'll do whatever they can. They'll do whatever they can to help you. I have a client that bought a house, and for whatever reason, he needed a 2-year balloon payment, which means he couldn't pay back more for 2 years for whatever reason. He has his own personal reasons. He called the banks. I called the banks. I had to push a lot.
Sure.
But we made it very clear. I said to the banks, listen, if you guys don't approve this, he can't afford the mortgage. You might as well go sell the house. You can't afford the mortgage. The banks say, okay, we understand. Let's see what we could do. And they give us a 2-year balloon payment, which obviously compounds interest on my client.
Sure. So in other words, he's extending the mortgage by another 2 years at the other end?
Either extending it or he's going to be paying more after that. It depends how we structure it. But without that, he would have defaulted his mortgage. And therefore, the bank said, I'd rather help him today and not be in a decision where I have to foreclose a house, for instance.
Beautiful. Baruch Hashem.
So the banks are very understanding.
So good reason to have a mortgage broker on your 100%. Side. 100%.
But all you have to do is just call your broker, call the bank, say, listen, I'm having a hard time. Let's see what we could do. The banks, at least from my experience, are very understanding. They do whatever they can to help. They really do.
And similarly, a lot of people buy something before they've sold their home and they're building something and they have to take a mortgage in the meantime, but they can't afford to pay a second mortgage or they can't afford to pay rent and mortgage. Is there any way that they can defer the payments until they actually start living in the home?
That's a great question. I get that question all the time because everybody is a m'échapper d'io. He improves his existing house.
He upgrades
his existing house. Just always a cash flow question. He always says to me, listen, Yoni, I'm going to go into a lot of expenses. I'm doing renovation, but I can't afford the mortgage. And so either we put enough money aside in order to pay back the mortgage from that money in the next few months, we play with the numbers, or we take something called a grace period, which we pay back only interest for the first 6, 12, 18 months. And we allow him the flexibility to afford both mortgages or until he sells the existing house in order to pass the next stage comfortably. So yes, it is an option. A lot of these times when clients say, listen, I'm looking to upgrade, we sit down, we run Excel sheets, we try to do it as correctly as we can in order to allow him to guarantee that he has a cash flow to go through his next 6, 12, 18 months until he sells the existing house and pays off the mortgage.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay, so my next question was about interest-only mortgages. And you sort of addressed this already. Tell me a little bit about what this means, interest-only payments. And is there such an option to take an interest-only mortgage?
Okay, so there's no real option to take a 30-year interest-only mortgage.
Okay.
Unlike the States. If you're buying from a developer, for instance, there's a good reason behind it. You could take, like I said, 6, 12, 18 months of payback-only interest called the grace period in order to allow you an easier cash flow for those few months.
So if somebody takes a grace period and they pay interest only. Explain to me, dumb it down for me. What does that mean?
Okay, so I'll make it as simple as I can. Let's say you're paying 10,000 shekel one for the mortgage.
Okay.
Out of the 10,000 shekel, I'm throwing out numbers. 7,000 shekels in interest, 3,000 shekels is principal. You're paying something called Loch Spitze, which is an Israeli amortization table.
Okay.
So 7,000 shekels is interest, 3,000 shekels is the actual principal itself. And if you pay back only interest, you pay back only the 7,000 shekel, which means after, let's say, 6 months, you took out a million shekels, you still owe a million shekels. Now what happens is the mortgage now is paid upon not 30 years, but 29 years or 29 and a half years.
Say that one more time. After a year, I still owe them a million shekels because of the interest.
Let's say hypothetically, I'm taking a million shekel mortgage for 30 years.
Okay.
Throwing out numbers, okay?
Okay.
My payments are, I'm throwing out numbers, 5,000 shekels a month. Throwing out numbers, okay? As of 5,000 shekels, 3,500 shekels is only interest and about 1,500 shekels, give or take, is principal.
Okay.
Every time I pay 5,000 shekels for the mortgage, so my principal deducts by 1,500 shekels. Now I owe, after the first month, I owe 998,500. It goes down slowly as time goes by. Obviously, as time goes by, I pay back the 5,000 shekel. I'm paying back more principal, less interest. That's what Loch Spitze in Hebrew is. I'm paying back more principal, less interest. If I pay back only interest, so for the first 6 or 12 months, I'm paying back only interest. I'm only paying back the interest part. There's only about 3,500 shekels a month. After a year of payback only interest, I still owe the bank a million shekels, which means I didn't deduct from the principal at all. And now the mortgage is paid off not in 30 years, in 29 years. So now I'm not paying back 5,000 shekels a month. I'm paying back 5,000 shekels, but for 29 years. So for my payment goes from 5,000 to 5,200 shekels a month, whatever it is.
Okay.
So it increases my monthly payment. So whatever you're paying for the grace period, for the interest, is money that throwing it to the garbage, we'll call it. You're not deducting from the principal.
Can you do the other way around?
No.
Can you just pay principal?
No. The bank has to make something.
I see.
So I mean, it's money's getting thrown into the garbage every month, but allows you an easier cash flow for the next year or year and a half.
What if someone cannot afford that the interest only?
So if somebody can't afford the deal, maybe the deal's too big for them. It depends on the deal.
Well, if they're in the deal already and they need a grace period, they've lost a job, or God forbid somebody's sick or something.
So we do whatever we can to help them. We take a balloon payment. We do whatever we can to help them. We take a private loan. We do whatever we can to help them. There's always solutions. I tell my clients, tell me before it's too late. Tell me when you start. I have clients, by the way, that tell me all the time, Yoni, I'm about to lose my job. Help me now because in 3 months it's going to be too late. And in 3 months, I already start the process ahead of time and I already get all my ducks in order to make sure they're going to pass the next few months.
Fantastic.
I think also one thing I can talk about myself, and I'm sure a lot of brokers as well, is a broker is my relationship with the clients goes for years. I mean, I have clients that they mortgage for 8 to 9 years, whatever, 7 years
ago.
Well,
this is a very long-term product. If you're taking a mortgage for 30 years,
100%. But I have clients after 3, 4, 5 years say, listen, Yoni, something changed. I'm getting divorced. I'm getting married. I'm remodeling. I'm refinancing. Whatever it's going to be, I'm renovating. It's like an ongoing relationship. And therefore, what I do is I build a relationship with my clients, which means that I want to be in a situation where in 2, 3, 5 years from now, when they need to increase their mortgage, refinance their mortgage, pay off and buy something else, I'm going to be the person they go to, and they're going to use me in order to help them. And I'm with them every step of the way for the next 5, 10, 15, whatever it's going to be years. And I'm trying to be as available as I can for as long as I can.
Beautiful. Okay. We're still going to get to how we figure out what works for each person, but I'm still learning. I'm still learning, and I want everyone out there to learn as well. So we spoke about the different tracks that are out there.
Correct.
Are there any specific rules or regulations that buyers need to follow? Are there any requirements to take?
So I'm going to talk about Israelis.
Yep.
Because foreigners are a little bit different about Israelis. At least a third of the mortgage has to be fixed. That's a regulation.
A third has to be fixed.
At least a third has to be fixed. I could do 33%, 35%, 40%, 100% fixed. I could do at least a third has to be fixed.
Okay.
The rest I could do whatever I want.
Which we said is going to be around 4.7%.
Again, depending on the structure. If I do everything fixed, but maybe it's a little bit higher. If I do partial variable, it could be a little bit lower, depending on the structure itself. But at least a third has to be fixed.
Okay.
Everything I could play with. I could do 40% fixed, 6% variable. I could do 50-50. I could do whatever. I could do 5 different types of variable. I could do whatever I want. But at least
it could be more than a third fixed?
It could be 100% fixed if I wanted it to be.
I see.
I could do whatever I want.
When my husband and I took our mortgage, it was about 21 years ago, we took 100% prime. Prime was very, very low, and we got a high minus figure, whatever it was.
And it started going up, though.
Then it started to go up. Nachon. But today you can't do that.
No, today you could do a maximum of 2/3 prime. And until a few years ago, I think it was 2021 or 2022, I remember the exact time, you're allowed to take up to a third prime. And then the banks changed it. They said you could take up to 2/3 prime.
Why did they change it?
Because the prime was cheap back then, he tried to make it better for the clients, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my clients, don't do it. Stop doing it. Don't do it. The banks are trying to, wheel you guys in. Don't do it. And the prime, surely enough, went up from 1.6 to 6%. And everybody took, 40, 50%, 60% prime. The payments went up by thousands of shekels a month.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people couldn't afford it. They have to refinance their mortgage at higher rates. I mean, it's something that you guys have to talk to an expert and understand the risk involved in doing this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so on that note, help us, Yoni. How do buyers decide on the right mix of fixed and variable for their specific situation?
So first of all, it really depends on what the purpose of the purchase is. Is it an investment? Is it a house to live in? It really depends on the purpose of the purchase.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a house to buy to live in long term, somebody's buying in Buchman and he wants to live in for the next 25, 30 years, fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'll probably go a little more fixed just to give them the stability. If it's a more variable, which means he's looking to buy for an investment and probably sell within the next few years, I'll probably go a little more variable just to give him the option to prepay or refinance with specific exit points with no penalty. So very, very minimal.
Let's just go back a minute. Sorry. Okay. If you're buying a house to live in, you would want it to be fixed.
That's, again, this is my recommendation.
Why? Explain to me why.
Because you want the stability. You don't want to be in a situation where the rates market varying.
It's your home. You have to know where you stand.
You may want to pay a little bit more, but to have that stability, that security.
Mm-hmm.
If you're buying an investment property and you're looking to sell within the next few months or few years, and you want the option to exit the mortgage with a very minimal exposure to a penalty, that may be more of a variable mortgage.
Why? Because the fixed rate has a higher penalty?
The fixed rate has more of exposure to a penalty. The variable rate has exit points that allow you to refinance or pay off the mortgage at specific points with no penalty whatsoever. It's a very, very minimal penalty.
What if it's an investment property that you plan to hold long-term and rent out?
So also there, again, it depends on the investment property, but a lot of times if the rates of market go up, so will your rent because that's the market's getting more expensive.
Got
so
it
really depends on the client. Today, because the rates are a bit higher than what they were, I am recommending to go a little more variable, a little less fixed today. That's my personal recommendation, just to give my clients the option and the upside once the rates market drop for the rates to adjust automatically and obviously enjoy the decrease of rates in the future. So, I mean, I try to stay, again, for me personally, I try to stay away from inflation as much as I can because inflation can be very, very costly over the years.
So again, so you're saying less on the fixed, more on the variable.
Again, this is my personal recommendation. It really depends on the client.
Sure.
But if people used to take 100% fixed or 80% fixed, I'll say, let's try to increase the variable parts just to allow you the flexibility. Because like I said, once the rates market adjust and the rates market go down, and hopefully they will go down in the next few years, by me taking a variable rate, automatically without doing anything, the rates are going to adjust and go down. Obviously, that would lower our monthly payments.
I see. Okay.
But the most important thing, and I tell my clients all the time, no matter what mortgage you take out, with whatever broker you took it out with, which is fine, every 3 to 6 months, call your broker, call a different broker, call whoever you want, and say, we took our mortgage 3, 6 months ago. Where's the market today? Should I touch my mortgage?
Mm-hmm.
Mortgage can be refinanced whenever you want, as many times as you want, as long as
Is this something that brokers do like as part of their service?
It depends on the broker. Some brokers do it as an additional service. Some brokers do it as part. It depends on the broker itself. Mm-hmm. But again, have that relationship with your broker. and be in touch with them like you have a relationship with your lawyer. And there's any legal question you can have somebody talk to here once every 3 to 6
things
months.
Things change so rapidly here absolutely. That it can make such a huge difference.
Absolutely.
And again, it's such a long, it's a long-term product. That
I can tell you that I'm proud. I am proud that I built such a relationship with my clients that I get at least 20 to 30 WhatsApps a day, at least, of clients saying to me, Yoni, you took a mortgage 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5, whatever it is. What do you think? It takes me 10 seconds to look at it. I tell my clients, either you have a good mortgage, let's leave it, or let me think about it, or let's, you know, let's talk because we could refinance. If we should refinance it, let's do it together. If not, we'll talk again in 3-6 months. But it's recommended, it's important, and it allows us to guarantee they're always the cheapest mortgage. I tell you that my personal mortgages, I refinance once every few months. My really? Personal mortgages. Wow. I'm in the banks all the time. Mm-hmm. And even though, I mean, a few years ago, I probably got probably the best rates in the market for myself and for all my clients, the market changed. And what was relevant 3 months ago might not be relevant today. What was relevant 4 years ago well, definitely is not relevant today. Mm-hmm. So if I took a variable mortgage linked to inflation, inflation started going up, I changed it. And now I had a different mortgage today for myself. And again, in 2 years, I'll refinance it again. I'll do it again Fantastic. And again and again, depending on the market.
Fantastic. Great. We have an episode coming up in a couple of weeks that's going to focus on refinancing and the options and the penalties. So I don't want to detract too much, but that's really, really important to know. So Yoni, I'd like to ask you for a scenario, okay? As you know, the podcast here is primarily to help English speakers, either those who are abroad and who want to make Aliyah or those who have recently made Aliyah, you know, and are learning how to buy a property here in Israel. Can you give us an example, a good scenario that you've recently dealt with? Tell us how you broke down the components of the mortgage. How much do they borrow? What are the costs? And
yeah, I mean, I can give 1,000 examples. Great. I'll give you a fantastic example. A client's buying for, let's take Modine as a city, because I do a lot of Modine. A client's buying in, well, Buchman's a bit expensive today, but let's say he's buying in Kaiser.
Okay.
In Modine, he's buying for 4.5 million shekels, a nice 4 or 5 bedrooms in Kaiser. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty realistic price today in Kaiser.
Nahum.
He has 2.5 million shekels because he sold the house and it's because he's improving to this house. And he's looking to take a 2 million shekel mortgage. The client's making 28,000 shekels on net, him and his wife together, and they can afford up to 12,000 shekels a month for the mortgage, or 11,000, whatever it is, 11,000 shekels a month for the mortgage, whatever it comes out to. What I'm going to do is really understand from my client financially what's important for him, what his risks are, what he could afford, and so on. And I try to, like I said, structure the mortgage in a way that allows him both a stable, secure monthly payment, and with the option that if he decides to sell this house, or he has money coming in, or he has a bonus at work, he wants to pay off parts of mortgage, whatever it is, he has the option to refinance or pay off that mortgage.
You take that all into account.
Absolutely. Fantastic. I tell my clients all the time. A lot of my clients say to me, Yoni, are you also, it's called Karkata Mishpacha. How do you say that in English? Karkata Mishpacha?
Yeah, family economist.
Economist. I say it goes together. I mean, it has to go together because when I talk to my clients about mortgages, I understand how much they have in Kanot Tishalmot, how much they have in loans, how much they have in debt, how much their parents are helping them, what their financial situation is. I go really deep into the financial because that allows me to structure what I would believe the best mortgage for them and give them the best solution today.
Fantastic.
So, I mean, again,
you do all this yourself or do you have assistants?
No, I have assistants, but right. I mean,
you can't handle every single person on your own.
But I work a lot.
But
it's very important for me that every one of my clients, I'm the one who deals in directly. Which means I assist to do a lot of the back office paperwork and so on, a lot of the bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line of understanding the financial, the one that sits with the clients in the Zoomings, the ones with the clients in signings, I'm with them at every step of the way. And to ensure that they get the proper answers to their dilemmas. And there are a lot of dilemmas, especially people who are making Aliyah. I have many clients that made Aliyah that bought and are known in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And when I took out a mortgage, and they're real estate investors, you know, big time real estate investors in the States and so on. And when they took a mortgage, they said, yo, this is crazy. I bought 20 different apartments in my life in the States. I never had to deal with this much bureaucracy.
Really?
It's a lot of bureaucracy. And again, trust the people you're working with. You said, you know, always build a team, good lawyer, good broker, good insurance agent, good realtor. Trust their judgment. Let them guide you. I always tell my client, trust me. I know what I'm doing. I've been doing it for a long time.
You certainly do.
And I promise you, I'll get to the end goal at the best in the best possible way for you.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody borrows today, let's just say 1 million shekels, can you give us a ballpark figure, approximately, what they would, let's say a million shekels for 20, 25, 30 year loan.
Let's do 30, because most clients do 30 year loans
today. Okay.
So on a 20 year, on a million shekel for 30 years, about 52 to about 5,300 shekels a month on a very, you know, secure locked in mortgage. If it's, you know, mortgage is all linked to inflation, it could also be 4,500 shekels a month, but it's very risky. But let's say it's a very, you know,
conservative, stable,
good mortgage, about 52 to 5,300 shekels a month.
Okay.
And your next question is, what do they have to make in order to approve that type of mortgage? So I'm going to ask your next question. You put it differently,
but okay. Absolutely. So one second, before we go there. So for every million shekels, on the safe side, 5,300 shekels monthly repayments.
Give or take.
Okay, so you borrow 3 million shekels, you're talking 15, almost 16,000 shekels.
That's a pretty good approximate.
Okay, so that, back to the next question, you're right. How much does one have to earn in order to qualify to get that?
So I'm going backwards. The maximum they could pay back is up to 40% of their net income.
40% of the net income.
So, hypothetically, you're paying back 5,300 shekels a month, they have to be making at least 13 to 14 net a month. Let's say about 14,000 shekels net a month in order to approve that type of mortgage. So the household income has to be at least that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can multiply it depending on the size of the mortgage. But then again, I could also take a lot of into consideration. Let's say, for instance, I have clients that are currently renting and are paying 3,000 shekels a month in Yechidat Diyun Chashmonaim, for instance, and they buy an apartment from Modin for an investment for now. They're going to get 6,000 shekels a month in rent. I could take part of the rental income they're going to get from that apartment as part of their income as well. I could play with the numbers.
Excellent.
And increase it. And if their income isn't high enough, I could bring in a co-signer, one of the parents, one of the siblings, to co-sign and use their income in order to increase the mortgage approval. So, yes.
Excellent. So we actually had an episode a couple of months ago all about how much can I borrow. So I don't want to go off too much on that tangent, but that's super, super helpful. And I think you've given us a great understanding of the different options, the different tracks, the risks, and the variables. I did mention at the beginning, and I'm going to come back to this, you said that you're a real estate investor. So I would love to hear, Yoni, or rather my readers, my listeners would love to hear where you recommend investing today and what you think, where you think the market is going.
That's a great question. There's no perfect place to invest. I think if you buy for the correct place in different places, it could always be a good investment. So, I mean, obviously places are, in Hebrew called Ezore Bikush. If it's Jerusalem, Modin, Tel Aviv, I think it's always going to be Ra'anan. It's always going to be a good investment because the prices are just going up like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
In my personal opinion, obviously, you know better than I do, but I mean, that's my what I'm seeing from the market.
This market is not coming down. It's only going up.
Once the rates in the market go down, and therefore mortgages are much more
affordable
mm-hmm. for more clients, and they could potentially take a bigger
mortgage. Prices will go up.
That's my personal.
Yeah. And please God, when we get through this war, all the people that have been on the edge, on the fence, and people in the Milawim and Olim Chadashim are all going to buy as well. So it's only going to go up.
So there's no right place. But I mean, from what I see is if you buy somewhere where you have to always think who's going to buy from you in the future. If you buy in places like, again, assuming you could afford it, Arnona or Baca or Modin,
mm-hmm.
there's such a high clientele. People are going to want to buy from you later on. So I mean, prices are going up and up and up. We have deals that my clients bought in Katamon for 4 million shekels, sold after 2 years for 6 million shekels. I mean, it happens all the time.
Unbelievable. Okay, so Yoni, thank you. Thank you so much. Before we wrap up, I have two final questions that I love to ask all of my guests. First of all, where in Israel do you live and why did you choose to live there?
It's a good question. I live in Baca in Jerusalem.
Beautiful. Very popular with young couples now.
That's true.
And older couples.
And older couples. We actually live in where a lot of older couples actually live. The reason we chose to live, because I have three kids. My oldest one is in first grade, and we wanted to put him in a schooling system in Jerusalem. I think Jerusalem has a fantastic schooling system, and it was important for us to put him in a good school, and therefore we decided to move to Baca. We actually lived in Gush Etzion until a few months ago, and we moved from Gush Etzion to Baca just because we wanted to put him in a better school.
Amazing. So, and how's the transition been? What's it like living in Yerushalayim?
It's different. Gush Etzion has its own, magical.
Sure.
I grew up in the Gush. I love the Gush. The Gush is very, it's a yeshuv, which means you live in a small settlement. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows everybody. Jerusalem is huge. You go to a park, there's 1,000 different people there, so it's very different. But, you know, it's a good move for my family. That's why we decided to do it.
Beautiful. Just have a lot of hatzlacha there. Bezrat Hashem. And finally, Yoni, if you were to move somewhere else in the country, I know you're not moving right now because you just moved, but if you were, where would you go and why?
It's $1 million question. So it's always a debate between my wife and me. My wife wants to stay in Jerusalem. She loves Jerusalem. I want to move up north. I love up north. If I could find something in Paris Chan or Zichron, not that I'm recommending Paris Chan or Zichron, but I think those are beautiful locations.
Beautiful. Well, you never know. Please go, maybe in the future, your wife will come around.
But it's very, again, if you're my age, I'm not sure. I mean, again, it's a bit older, but I think it's a place to retire. I think the North, maybe even the Golan, hopefully.
Oh, Bezrat Hashem.
So I mean, I have clients, every time my client says to me, I have a client right now, so he's buying in Yonatan or he's buying in Keshet. I'm like, oh.
Wow.
I'm really jealous of you because you're living the dream.
You're living the dream. And this episode is going to be published, Bezrat Hashem, after Hanukkah. We don't know what's going to be between now and then, but we've just captured the Syrian side of the Hermon as we talk.
Amazing.
There's a lot going on, and I truly believe that, Bezrat Hashem, we are going to get through this very difficult war.
Amen.
And we're going to be safe and secure in our Amen. Country. And Bezrat Hashem, everybody's going to come home. And I believe, personally, that the North and the South are great places to invest.
100%.
There's incredible potential there. I think when this war is over, the prices are going to go crazy. And
again, this is a shout-out for anybody listening that... If there's, instead of going to vacations, in Europe, go support the business up north and down south. Go
Love
to Zimmer's. I mean, buy from them. It's good. It's important.
How do we say Zimmer's? What is that like? Like holiday homes, Airbnbs, yeah. Cabins.
A lot of people in this Golan, they have, these stuff they rent out. I have a lot of friends that live there. It's important. Do whatever you can. Support
I love that.
Them.
Support the economy.
100%.
I agree. Buy it in Israel.
100%.
Whatever you can spend in Israel, do in Israel. It's funny because my teenage kids, they love traveling. They're always planning their next trip, going away with friends. Honestly, I said to my 18-year-old, 19-year-old the other day, I want to take away your passport. There's nowhere in the world I want you flying right now. Stay in Israel.
100%.
Okay. Yoni, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Really, really appreciate it. You kicked off the season with such valuable insights into the world of mortgages. And to all of our listeners, we'll continue to dive deep into mortgages next week with another important episode. So be sure to tune in. And don't forget, if you have any questions about mortgages or anything related to financing a home in Israel, we'll be hosting a Q&A session at the end of the season. You can submit your questions through the Buy It in Israel website or send an email to office@buyitinisrael.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Bezrat Hashem. Thank you for listening to On the House. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe and share it with your family and friends. You can also visit buyitinisrael.com, where you can find news, market updates, guidance, and much more on real estate in Israel. That's buyitinisrael, buyitinisrael.com. If you have a question or a specific topic you'd like us to cover on this podcast, please email us at the address you'll find at the bottom of the show notes. Whether you're thinking about Aliyah, looking for a home or a haven, or wanting to support the Israeli economy, now is the time to buy it in Israel.